All right, what's up, everybody? Good morning to you. And man, so glad you're here on this final week of our series called, Gaining Momentum. Have you been enjoying this series? Good. All right, man. Thankful for all those watching online as well today. We love you guys. We're thankful for you. Come on, church. Can you welcome, man, just all those watching online with us today? Yeah. So, man, what a weekend it's been around here. And we had, again, as Bethany said, Moxie, our women's rally last night was absolutely powerful, the best to date. There's no doubt about that. Super thankful for just everyone who served, who helped make that just a reality, just preparation. How many know things like that take preparation? Yeah. Yeah. Can we just honor all those, yeah, who served and helped? Yeah. First class. That's why I told the team, man, just first class. And so they always do such an amazing job. We have such an amazing team around here. So proud of my wife, man, just preached a message last night that, man, girl, come on, girl. You know, I mean, man, it was best to date, in my opinion. And I just told her, said, baby, just getting better and better. I said, it's just amazing. So she did a great job. Thankful for, man, just the vision in her heart becoming a reality for our women. And how many know God's got a plan for his women? Amen? Amen. All right. And so thankful. And today's our last day all, as well, just for our student internship. Man, we've been getting such amazing feedback from many of you parents. And I just want you to know, man, thank you too for just entrusting us this summer with your students. And in the month of June, July, they're going to be with us twice a week in the offices. And man, we're going to put them to work. They're going to work. And it's going to be good for them. But we're going to have a great time. I'm looking forward to getting to know even some of our students. And so it's going to be good. And then we got Serve Day coming up. But just around the corner, I'll talk to you more about that in a minute. But everybody say next Sunday. So I love Memorial Day weekend around here because we just, I don't know, we get creative in a sense, and I just, man, I just love, obviously, what Memorial Day represents, and so we're going to make sure we honor well as in on Sunday, and then we're also going to have what we're calling, never done this, we're calling it our 6 and 6, and our theme for next Sunday is on our family values. So what 6 and 6 is six of just some emerging communicators in our church that are all going to be up here next Sunday, and all six of them, and each of them have 6 minutes to preach. And it's going to be a real unique time gathering for us. And we've been talking a little bit with them all over the last month and just pumped for this. And I just love seeing other people rise up in their gift and their call. Amen. And so we're going to root them all next week. Each of them have a topic within the values that we have as a church. And man, we're going to get behind them. And so excited for that. Then, man, we've rented out Whip and Chill next week. Come on. So every service when you leave. Yeah, see, most of you know. All right. And so I got some of the best Italian ice, so man, they're going to bring both trucks, so at the end of each service, you'll have that opportunity. I'm going to go back to the handheld, guys. It is, I don't know what the deal is, it's just still really ringing up here in my monitors, so I'm just going to stick with this. We've been trying, but it's all good. It happens sometimes. All right, here we go. Can you hear me? Everybody good? Hear me? Good. All right, so we have some news that we want to share with you today, and some exciting news, and I want to just kind of let you know, it's been a while since I've come to you and talked to you about a building, and kind of we've been on a journey. It'll be 2 years this fall that we've been on a journey. So, man, it's been a long time. And so for some of my team that's been with me in it, man, it's just like, you know, we just have been staying patient but staying steadfast. And I never want to just come to you unless I have, you know, just something that's a little bit more, you know, concrete or depth, I guess, maybe is what I want to say. But we feel like today's a day that we need to share a big update with you because of our journey that's now taken, I think, a real positive shift in what's happening in some conversations, and tell you about the building we're looking at. And so many of y'all been praying, and we've been in 3 services now. Let me tell you what's been happening, and a couple things that's been happening is, one, from the month of January to April, our church saw a 20% surge in attendance, and it is the greatest, yeah, to God be the glory. Go ahead, give Jesus the praise. Love it. Yeah, to God be the glory for that. And when we see a lot of churches in America that are on the decline,
I'm really thankful to see that we are on, man, we're climbing, amen? And that's a real sign of a healthy church, and so we thank God for that. And so we've continued just to look and pray, and we know that we've been in this facility. For those that are here for the first time or those that are newer to our church, if you don't know this, we've been subleasing this facility now. It'll be 5 years in August that we've been here, and we are only 7 years old as a church, and so we just have known, though, that it's time for something else, and so our offices are also separate from this facility. And so we just knew that we just got to continue, because we got a lot of vision in our heart, church. I think you know that, hopefully, about your pastor, that, man, we don't lack for vision around here. We're dreaming together. We're not dreaming alone. And God is just raising up more and more ministries, because I just feel like one of the great cultures of this church is the life-giving culture that we have, and helping people to connect with their God-given gift and their dream and to rise up in that and go for it in Jesus' name. And so we're seeing more and more happen with that. But So as we've been looking in this journey, we just knew that we just got to stay patient. Well, this facility has now come back to us over the last couple months, and now some conversations are heating up, and so for the good. And so I want to give you a scripture before I show you the building, and it's out of Isaiah chapter 54. This is a verse that I want you to know that God gave me some years ago, and I've always held this verse very close to my heart, because I just know that this church is meant for more. And I think the comfortable thing for you and I to do is just get comfortable in a facility like this. Things are going well. Obviously, man, you know, we're growing. We're doing different things. But your pastor doesn't want to have to preach, you know, 20 services in a Sunday either, all right? Come on, somebody. We're at 3. And I just want you to know, in the fall, we're preparing for 4. And just because of the growth that's been happening. And so we just are wanting to make sure we plan well ahead for, man, your friends and your families and your guests that come to our church. So we want to make sure. And so as we saw that huge influx in the spring, the months of May, just so you know, statistically, May through July are real heavy travel months for churches. And so we see that. And so, but we take, obviously, the months that are everybody's typically in church for the most part. But this is the verse: clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Everybody say, spread out. Everybody say, think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. Come on, just kind of nudge somebody next to you with your elbow. Say, you're going to have to move over, all right? And so, say, you're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to come up. You're not going to be embarrassed. And don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. So here's what I know. Again, the comfortable thing would be just hang here. Hang tight and just, hey, hope for the best. But we just know, again, we've got a lot of vision. And so with vision, we need room and we need the opportunity to really function and do the things that we want to. And last night, we all just kind of joked, because it was kind of an example. When we have an event like that, a lot of the things that we have to make sure that are in place for the school that's here through the week. And so there's over 300 kids in the school. They have about 50 plus staff members during the week. So they're really over capacity as well. But even at that, to see ministry flow and to see the room in which we need. And one of the things that's huge at this facility is just, well, let's show it. I'm getting ahead of myself. So here's the facility. And some of you may know this facility. And so this is Wallen Baptist Church on Wallen Road. Y'all know where that's at? All right, if you don't know where that's at, you need to drive by it and just pray, all right? And so this is a facility that is now Headwaters. It's renamed. So if you've driven by there, you've seen the name changes, because they bought a facility downtown. Pastor John is friends of mine. We have a great relationship. What God is doing with them and their vision is awesome. And we stand by them because we are the body of Christ. Amen, everybody. And we are thankful for what God is doing with them. And so this is, they currently have both locations, but their heart is to want to sell this. Now, in saying all that, basically, here's where we're at. There's nothing that's been agreed upon yet, and so we are going into negotiation stages over the next few weeks of just price and all those great fun things. And so thankfully, we have some amazing businessmen in our church that are helping me because I ain't that smart, you know? And so you got to get people that are smarter than you in the room with you. And so with our pastors and our businessmen who are helping me, I'm just thankful for them. And they'll be helping us in this journey. And so this Thursday begins really a big time meeting for us as a church. And so at 3:30, so if you want to just come on, if you want to write that down and you're in the office, man, throw up a prayer for Pastor Kyle and the team. Come on, somebody. All right. But again, we just see incredible vision. Let me just tell you a few things about this facility. Again, with our outreach and everything that's happening, food pantry that we want to have, Dream Center functions, and this has just always been an outreach centered church, and we just know this provides ministry to flow in and out of. And I just want you to know this next step for Elevate City is not a step for ego's sake. This is a step for God so loved the world, because we see vision that is bigger than us, and we just know we're going to need more room to be able to do all that God has called us to do. And so one of the things about this space, of course, our kids' pastor was very excited, and it has amazing kids' space. And just what some of the things that we see creatively in our heart and ideas can happen here. And so some of the things that we are just dreaming about. And so ample space for our kids, lobby space. Come on, somebody. My God in heaven. Like your pastor's been in there, and I just thought, man, we just do church in the lobby. Thank you, Lord, for space. It's funny to see hundreds of you have to climb in this hallway right here and then go, you know, it's just, man, how many know growing problems are good, though, amen? And so, but we've done well here with that. And then the auditorium seats close to 1,000 people, and so that gives us more, yeah, ample space to grow. And I just want you to know, because this is about, again, reaching people. This is about, we're in 3 services right now, all right? And so, and we just know as we continue to grow, we have to have a plan in place, you know, to just continue to help reach more and more people as we are a growing church. And so I'm excited about this opportunity. I think, man, I can't tell you how many times I've driven by it. I can't tell you how many times I've driven just on the parking lot already, all right? I've been kind of the creeper, all right, and just kind of hanging out, all right? They probably know my vehicle and all that now. But here's what I would just say, man, pray for us. And so I'm going to ask my wife to come up. If y'all would stand to your feet, we're just going to pray as a church. Is that all right today, everybody? Come on, we all believe together with me in faith that God can do something like this. Amen, everybody? Come on, to God be the glory. Amen? This is all about Jesus, all about Him and reaching people, because He loves the world and we do too. And so we're going to go after it with everything we have. So here's what I'm asking you to do is just pray, church. Man, we need you to pray. We need you to get a hold of God and just pray over us. Pray for wisdom. All right. I want to ask you to pray over my wife and I and our family. We know as we take next steps like this, and our staff, our pastors, that, man, the attacks of the enemy really try to come up. And so we want to ask you that you would cover us, cover your pastors, cover our staff, our pastors, our leaders, all right? We need you. This is not about just one or two. This is about us, guys. This is about next step with our growing family, all right? We're making elbow room. And so, and I just want to say we need you to pray. Pray for this process. Pray for the hearts of that church as well. Pastor John, again, I can't speak, man, more highly of him. He's just a wonderful man, been a good brother. Been in this city a lot longer than I have, and just got a lot of honor and respect for them and what they are doing for the kingdom. And so let's just pray, because it's got to make sense for them. It's got to make sense for us. And so, but we're just praying that we can work out something in Jesus' name to go forward, so that our growing family can have a bigger home in Jesus' name to grow, and for your kids and our students. And there's just incredible opportunity. And so as things get moving and keep moving, we'll keep you posted on it. But how many would pray with me? Amen? Amen. So let's pray today, and let's pray together. So let's go a little old school, all right? If you need antibacterial after church, we have it in the hallway, or soap. So if you would just grab the hand next to you just for a moment. And really just what this is just for unity's sake here today, all right? And just as this is a big moment for our church family. But God, we just love you. And God, we're thankful. Thank you for our growing family. My goodness, Lord. 7 years ago, we started in a cafeteria at Northwood Middle School. And here we are with an incredible opportunity, God, right in front of us. And Lord, we need the wisdom of heaven. We need divine discernment, God. We need you to lead us and to guide us, Lord. And so, Father, we just speak in the name of Jesus over this whole process as we begin this Thursday, Lord, that you would go and be with us in the room, that you would be with our businessmen, that you would be, God, with our pastors as well. And, Lord, we just ask that you would guide our conversations. God, that you would prepare the hearts of their team over at that church as well, at Headwaters. And, God, we're thankful for them. We ask that you would continue to bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we just pray that we would be able to come to an agreement, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak the favor of God over this ministry and over this work. And we declare, God, that you go before us and that you are already preparing the way, Lord. And we just trust in you and we love you and we honor you and we worship you, O King. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you protect this work and ministry. And Satan, we declare you have no authority over us, nor our lives or this work. We declare, God, that you continue to keep us healthy, keep this church healthy, moving and moving forward in strength in the name of Jesus. And we declare the devil is defeated. And God, that we're going to reach more people in this city and make your name even more famous. That's what this move is all about. In Jesus' name, we claim it. God, we declare, give us that building, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said a good amen today. Come on, if you believe it, put your hands together. Come on, amen. Come on, high five a couple people around you and tell them, let's get it. Let's get it. Have a seat. All right, we're going to roll. I got a message to preach still. All right, so here we go. We probably pack up and go home after that, all right? Definition of momentum. Strength or force is something has when it's moving. Strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow stronger or faster as time passes. How many would say we're in a time of momentum? Amen? And so over the last few weeks, we've just been talking about just principles that produce momentum and ways to help continue to carry us. Because here's what I know. I think we're either in a place where maybe we're looking to gain some momentum, or maybe we're in a place where we're really starting to see that. You know, when you think about 2019, it's hard to believe that we're in mid-May, coming to the latter half of May. And when you think back in January of maybe some of the things that you wrote down and believe in God for, how is that looking for you? You know, I often think about that, especially when I come into the month of June. I look back over my 6 months, and I really try to get real honest with myself and the goals that I set and asking, man, how am I really doing? How have I really progressed this year? And so I just know that according to that definition, man, I want momentum to be a part of my life. I want it in my marriage. I want it with my kids. We want it in our church. We want it with your family. Come on, with our kids and our students. And so God is stirring, doing some things. And so the first week we just talked about how to gain momentum for just your life. And I believe one of the greatest elements that's going to help produce momentum, and you can go back and watch these messages if you missed it, is understanding the importance of honor. Man, honor is huge. Honoring God and honoring people. Amen. There's some things my wife said last night were just spot on as it relates to honor and loving each other and speaking words of life. And I'm just telling you, man, let us be a people of honor. I pray when Fort Wayne looks at Elevate City that they see a church of honor. They see a church that knows how to love its people and love its community. Come on, somebody. Amen? And so we want them to see that. Last week, Bethany talked last Sunday about gaining momentum in your family. I think if there's anything that we need in just a high-level, sometimes stressful environment, high-paced, is just an understanding of, man, how do we kind of dial things back again to make sure we have momentum in our marriage, momentum in our kids. So check that out if you missed it. But one of the things I want to talk to you today is about your future and how to gain momentum and continue to look forward and not looking behind. I think if there's something that the enemy can do to really try to trip us up is get us to a place to continually try to look in the rearview mirror. How many know you can't drive a car effectively and safely while looking in the rearview mirror? Please don't try that, all right? And so you got to know how to have vision to be able to look forward and to move forward. And so one of the things that happens, too, that I think if we're not careful, we buy into is words and labels that are sometimes said about us that are not true. And really, labels are just things that are just lies that are said about you that aren't true, that holds God's people back. But it's the desire of God to see us free from that. I grew up with some labels. Some of you have had some labels in your life that have been said about you. I remember growing up in school, and I had two famous ones growing up in school, and I had some as an adult. I'll share that with you. But in school, it was virgin boy. Come on, somebody. Proud of it, baby. Let's go. All right. Waited till I met my bae. Waited till I'm in my boo. Let's go. And can I just tell you, doing it God's way is the blessed way. And just honoring God, honoring your body, Scripture talks about, and honoring your future spouse. I just never forget, way before I ever met Bethany, I thought, man, I'm going to honor her. I don't even know who she is. I remember living in Indiana, and she was in Columbus. I had no idea that, man, God would design it so that one day I'd move to Columbus and meet my wife. And I mean, only God can do that. And but I just knew, even in the days of dating, that I thought, man, I'm going to keep myself. And can I just tell you, it's not just a good idea, it's God's idea. And we still need to uphold the values that Scripture says. Come on, somebody. And I just challenge every student, every single person in here, let's keep ourselves for the one that God has for us. And if you got somebody tempting you, you have my permission right now. Text them in service and tell them it's over. Pastor Kyle said, we got to end this thing. If they got a problem, they can talk to me. If you needed a way out, there's your way out, all right? Just trying to help, all right? Yeah, man, if they're pressuring you, I don't know where this is going. I have no, this ain't part of my message today, but my God in heaven. But I'll tell you, I'll stand with you, all right? And it'll be more blessed if you do it that way. Preacher Boy was the other one, famous. I never forget that, hard to imagine. I'll never forget quitting sports. And it was one of the hardest things I did when I came into my freshman year of high school, quit all my sports, and I just really felt God calling me to ministry at a young age, and so, that was my nickname. There's some other famous labels that are out there. Some of the older generation, come on, you'll know some of these. The younger generation may not know some of these old shows, but if you know them, I want you to say it out loud, some of the labels, nicknames from some of these shows. First one is Attila the, nice, all right. Conan the, nice. Billy the, Buffy the, oh, come on, one of my favorite, Winnie the, come on, it's just something about saying poo, you know, in church. Some of y'all, you just got free right there, just said poo, all right. So I want to talk to you today about a family that had some dysfunction. Y'all, how many would say, man, my family's crazy? Like, I'll say mine is, all right. We got, how many say my family's got some issues? Oh, Lord Jesus. Man, we need like all day to talk about all the issues in the family. Help us, Jesus, you know. And so here Isaac and Rebecca are, and they didn't start off real well because when they had their two boys, they actually had them with not planning names for them. I mean, as a parent, that'd be a rough deal, you know, like, you know, you've got two boys that are coming here, and you're just not going to name them. And so they named them after their defects. How many are glad that your parents didn't name you after your defects? Come on, somebody. So the first one was Esau, is his name, but it really means hair. So the boy was hairy, and so they named him Hair, was really his name. I mean, no, great name, Mom. Thanks so much. Glad to be known as Hairy, you know, appreciate that. Second one was Jacob. It really means one of the names, or one of the meanings of his name is heel. So we got hair and heel. Amen. Sounds like a great Mario episode, doesn't it? Like, especially with the chaos that happens here, you're going to see it's like, man, this is perfect to go on that show if we were in 20, you know, if they were in 2019. All right, here's what I know about labels. Jot it down if you're following along today, is that labels affect our identity. Labels affect our identity. You got names like that, it's definitely going to mess with your identity, all right? Genesis 25, the Bible says, the boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man. Staying among the tents, Isaac, who was the father, had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. Nothing wrong with your mama loving you, but there's some unhealthiness that goes on in this relationship, as you'll see in a moment. And Isaac, again, was very skillful, a hunter by nature, and so was his son Esau, a lot like his daddy, as to where Jacob was a mama's boy that hung out in the tents oftentimes with her. And I just know that sometimes that we have labels in our life that cause us to feel like maybe we're the heel in our families. I've heard it said that, man, I feel like I'm the black sheep of the family, or I don't fit in. And so that we can feel like that, because labels also affect our decisions. They affect your identity, and then they affect your decisions. You can jot that down. Jacob's family had issues, many issues, and we're going to see some. And Abraham was his grandfather, all right? And Abe, man, like, a.k.a. Abe, all right, he was incredibly full of faith and just known as the father of many nations, but had issues. The Bible says this in Genesis 20. Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And for a while he stayed in Gerar, and there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Did you just catch that? Okay, all right. All right, he said of his wife, "She is my sister." Okay, that's problem number one. All right, so then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. Interesting, in two chapters earlier, in chapter 18, Sarah talks about that she's not even at a place where she's too old to even conceive children. And then here we are two chapters later that she's beautiful enough for a king to now marry her. Now, what's interesting is that Abraham and Sarah were actually brother and sister. How many thank God we don't do that today? Whew. I told you, it's set up for Mari, I'm telling you, man. And so here Abraham, though, he had some character issues. We all got them, don't we? Full of faith, full of great faith, but man, he struggled. That's why I love the Bible. I'm glad that it's not a bunch of perfect people, that we read about men and women in the Scripture that have had their hang-ups and their struggles. And so, therefore, you and I can relate to the struggle, all right? So, but here he was, Abe, man, he was just scared. But he was willing to give his own wife away in marriage. Now, I'm just telling you, if I had some man trying to pursue my wife and get married to her, come on, I'm going to go Bruce Lee on him. I'm just telling you right now, like it ain't just going to be, yeah, here you go. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to throw it down, and you will lose. Just trust me. It's going to happen, all right? And so, but here Abraham is with not enough character and integrity to say, "This is my wife." I mean, oh, Abe, you got some issues. Like, that's your girl. Like, what's up? And in the exact same country, watch this, in the next generation with his son Isaac, watch what happens next. Genesis 26:7. When the men of that place asked Isaac about his wife, Rebekah, he said, "She is my sister." Okay, so daddy says it. Now the son says it. How many know some things going on generationally here? All right? Because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," he thought, "The men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah because she is beautiful." In other words, man, this is some beautiful women, but their husbands have no backbone. Single ladies, listen to me. You find a man of God that is on fire and loves Jesus and is pursuing hard after him, all right, to help lead with you. Come on, somebody, all right? Have a backbone, all right? And so these guys don't have the guts to stand up for them. That's an integrity issue. The integrity issue is that they are willing to give up their wives in order to protect themselves. Somebody say, selfish, right? And so Jacob is not only the heel, but his name also means deceiver. And there's a generational label and a curse that's happening here. And for some of us, I think we can really relate to this because when we look down the family lines, we see some of those issues with our grandparents or great-grandparents down to our parents. And now all of a sudden we're seeing maybe some things that we're fighting or struggling with today. Maybe you've heard things like, man, your daddy struggled with anger and you're always going to struggle with it too. Man, your mom was a drunk, so you're going to be a drunk just like her. Your dad cheated, once a cheater, always a cheater. Man, your parents divorced, so guess what? You're going to divorce too. Man, your parents struggled with weight, so you will too. I mean, just lies of the enemy that are being poured in. And I'm just telling you, you've got to be careful to whose voice you're listening to. Because if you're listening to any other voice outside of God's voice for you and your life, and any voice, listen, that is not loving you and encouraging you towards the things of God, I'm telling you, has the incredible potential to corrupt your life and to place a time of great delay in your life. I don't know about you. I don't know how much time on this earth you and I have, but I don't want to spend my time going through detours and on delays. There is nothing worse and nothing more frustrating in my life when I'm in the car going through a detour or in a delay. Talk to me, somebody. Say, my God, you want to flesh up in a moment. Those are flesh moments for me. Thank you, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You know, it's just like, man. And so you got to be careful who you're listening to. Two things that I know that are really important that the enemy will always try to do. Remember, there is nothing, hear me, nothing creative the enemy can ever do. because he's not creative. The only thing he will do is try to always pervert that which God has created. So this sets you and I up to understand, to get hip to the game and understand that he's going to work in the same ways. But the key is, will we come to a place of great application to make the necessary changes in our life, or will we just continue to coast and hope, someday it'll get better? We've got to make decisions in our life that says, no, I'm not going to allow what my granddaddy did and daddy did and pass it on to me, but I'm going to step in and declare that this thing ends in Jesus' name, and it's not going on to my kids. About half of you believe it. All right, we'll get the rest of you here in a minute, all right? Here's what I want us to know, that God wants us to break. He wants to break those labels. And two ways the enemy beats you and I up the most is, number one, with our past, and number two, things done generationally. And some of us think that we have to get our act together to get to God. That is not true. The truth is, we have to go to God to get our act together. Don't let religion mess you up. A relationship with Jesus just says, come as you are. I love you as you are. I'm thankful for that. Labels affect your relationships. It affects the way you see and you make decisions. Jacob is in a place where he's starved for attention from his daddy. Isaac is now, his dad is in a place where he's close to dying. And in the culture, they always bless the firstborn. Isaac tells Esau, tells Hare. He says, hey, Hare. I mean, imagine that at home. I want you to go hunting, bring back some food, and I'm going to bless you. But because Jacob is a mama's boy, his mama was paying attention to what was going on and saw an opportunity to manipulate, to set him up, to steal the blessing. Esau was hairy, Jacob was not. Seems like a problem. Isaac, dying, is also now blind, and so mama puts goat hair on his arms to disguise him as his brother Esau, and then makes the food so he can position himself, so Jacob can position himself as Esau. Jacob goes with it. Isaac says, well, you don't. He said, you sound like Esau, but I'm not real sure. Let me touch you. And he touches his arms. He said, well, you must be Esau, because he was hairy. And so then in that moment, he gives the blessing over to Jacob. And watch Esau's reaction here in Genesis 27. Isaac said, your brother came and deceived me. He's taken away your blessing. Esau said, isn't this why you named him that? This is the label. This is why you called him that. He's a deceiver. He's cheated me twice already. He took my rights as firstborn, and now he's taken my blessing. I think what happens is, for some of us, if we're not careful, that we buy into the lies and then we start living things out that were negatively spoken over us because we just believe that it's true. You've got to quit believing what others have said about you to be true and start believing what God has said about you to be true. Because the only word that matters, the only opinion that matters over your life is God's opinion and God's word for your life. Stop allowing people to define your tomorrow and your future, and start allowing God's word to penetrate your heart, to have you to have a future and to have you to have a purpose again in Jesus' name. And so we need to process what's been said about us and move forward, and it's important. And it's honesty that's the key, because some of us don't see it as a label. Some of us are making decisions in spite of what has happened to us. And it's exactly what happened to Jacob. There was some time spent after that moment that Jacob went to a faraway land, and he came back realizing, man, I need to come back and see my brother. I don't know how this is going to work out. And God is so good. Here's the thing about God. And this is why I love our vision in our church of taking people on the journey of knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, making a difference. Because God loves you and I enough to not allow us to stay where we're at. He wants to see you and I move us forward. And here Jacob is on the way back, and he has a wrestling match, WWE style, with God. And your Bible says he wrestled with God to the place that out of the wrestling match, he came with a noticeable limp. I mean, that's some hardcore wrestling went on there. But God won. And God asks him this question in Genesis 32, what is your name? This is interesting. I was looking at this week. What is your name? And he answered, he said, well, my name's Jacob. And what God was doing, in other words, was helping him to process the truth about who he was currently. And he was speaking to what was happening in his life. In other words, let me say it this way, that Jacob came face to face with who he was. That my name is Jacob, I'm the heel, I'm a deceiver, and I'm a manipulator. It's who I've been. And I've always felt like the heel, always felt like I didn't fit in, and my daddy never loved me. But there's a moment on the road that he came face to face with who he was. And I'm telling you, we need a face-to-face moment with God like that, where we come to a place to declare that that label does not define us. What happened with grandma and mama doesn't define you, doesn't have to go with you, and realize that the name of Jesus is higher than any label in Jesus' name. And listen, I'm telling you, you'll never be able to see the future until you wipe off the smudge of yesterday. That's why really surrendering your life and allowing God to be God in your life will allow him the opportunity to remove your yesterday and continue to move forward. You got to get a revelation of who he is and his love for your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Man, I love this verse. Would you read the last part, church, with me? The old life is gone. Come on, in a new life. God wants to do some things in us and take off the labels. Here's the first thing he wants to do. Number one is he wants to give you a new name. For some of us, it's like we've only been able to identify with some of those issues and who we've been. And I think those are always opportunities to minister to people with. I'll hit that in a minute. But after Jacob comes to grips with whom he was, I want you to watch what happens here. Genesis 32, 28, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. What God is saying is, I'm assigning you a new name. I understand that you used to be Jacob, known as the heel, the deceiver, the manipulator, but now you're Israel. In other words, Israel, the meaning of that word Israel means the Lord will prevail. That you are no longer a deceiver. You are no longer a manipulator, but you are Israel. You are the one with me that is prevailing, and we have to surrender to God knowing the old life is gone, Jacob, and a new life has begun. The label has been removed. It was a turning point in his generation where he realized, man, my grandfather struggled with this. My daddy struggled with this, but it ends with me. God wants to give you a new name. Isaiah 62, 2, you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. Guess what? For some of us today, you may need to write this down. Your new name is Overcomer. Your new name in Jesus' name is Conqueror. Your new name is leader. Your new name is healed. Your new name is free. Your new name is whole. Is there anybody that understands what I'm saying today? The devil has tried to lie to you and manipulate you, but God says you are a child. You are my child. You are a child of the King, a child of the Most High, and his royal blood flows through you. It's a new name. Everybody shout a new name. I love what William Booth said, one of my favorite generals of the faith who founded the Salvation Army. He said, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. You never quit surrendering to God. There's never a place that you and I will ever be that we don't need him. We will be in constant desperation for more of him in our life. Second thing is God will give you a new purpose. With a name change, it's connected with a purpose. Interesting moment here. Simon, who is an interesting guy, he was one of the 12. He was in an absolute mess when Jesus found him. They meet each other, and Jesus has a moment with him and said, you're no longer going to be called Simon. You're going to be called Peter. It's who you're going to be, all right? And I think it's interesting because here he is in this place. Oh, don't put that up yet, all right? Don't get ahead of me. All right, and so here he is in this place that they just met. They were just after meeting when he said, there's a name change coming. And I think it's interesting because Peter means rock. And he had to grow in that name. It took him time to really understand that. But Jesus is saying, we're going to call you the rock, not Dwayne Johnson. All right, smell what the rock is cooking. All right, not that rock. All right, but Peter means rock. And Jesus has a moment with his disciples, and he asks them a question. He said, what are people saying about our ministry? Like, how are we doing? How are we doing? What are people saying? And so the disciples start speaking up. Well, they said, well, some think you're Jeremiah, or some think you're one of the prophets. You read the scripture, it really feels like Jesus is getting real frustrated and irritated a little bit with his disciples. And he's, in other words, kind of saying, guys, are you processing what you just said to me? Like, we're doing ministry here, and this is what people are saying? So then he makes it real personal with the 12 disciples, and he says to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Watch this in Matthew 16. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being, but now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to build my church with people like this, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Peter had his mistakes, but Jesus was seeing potential. Jesus was seeing the greatness on the inside of him. That's why I believe in when we counsel people, and let me just help you with this. You got a friend that's going through a dark time. Don't just minister to the need of what's going on to the person. Minister to their potential. Minister to their purpose and what God is wanting to do next in order to help see them through that moment. I just believe, man, we've got to give people something much bigger than their problems. That's why we have Growth Track, to help people understand their God-given gifts and their purpose, because when they can wake up on a day-to-day basis realizing, man, I know what my gifts are. God's doing something with my life, because 87% of Christians in this nation don't know their gifts, so therefore they lack purpose. So let us be a church that helps people find their purpose and find a reason for waking up every day. And so Jesus was in a place right before he ascended to heaven, had a moment with Peter. A supernatural shift took place, man, in Peter's life, and he stepped in the call of God. On Pentecost, he saw 3,000 saved. Incredible ministry, lived out his life fully, making an impact for God, and then was crucified for his faith. I'll never forget a story. Billy Hornsby, who was the president of the ARC, our church planting network, and he's now with the Lord, but he shared this story. Man, it impacted me greatly with the power of label and words. I'm telling you, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Man, you really have the ability to determine what tomorrow looks like for you just by what you speak over your tomorrow. Bethany was talking about something last Sunday, and it just hit me when she talked a little bit on the power of words. And I said, man, I think I'm going to do a series at some point coming up, and we're just going to call it Sticks and Stones and talk about the power of words. I'm telling us, we get hung up, and we can't look like the rest of the world. We've got to learn how to, in all ways, assume the best and speak life. Man, a whole nother subject. But I'm telling you, it'll help you, and it'll free your life of drama, all right? Here Billy was. He was in school as an eighth grader, and he was called up. His teacher called him up to the chalkboard to work out a math problem. I remember the good old math days. Glory to God. So he does the problem, does the answer, and his teacher looks at him and said, Billy, I said, that answer is wrong. And he said, ma'am, with all due respect, it's right. And she said, no, Billy, it's wrong because you didn't show your work. How many remember that in math? Oh, Lord Jesus. Like, you marking that wrong because I didn't, like, the answer's right. Come on. You know, I get so frustrated on that. That's why I failed math. Never showed my work. Anyway, so there he was, and he heads to his seat, and he sits down. His teacher in front of the class looks at him and said, Billy, you're never going to amount to anything, and turned on and started teaching. He said, at that moment, I checked out. Thought, man, I'm done with this. Done with people, done. Comes into his ninth grade year, gets a girl pregnant. He said, man, and all of a sudden now I'm a dad in my freshman year. And he said, and everything just began to tank. And he said, so finally in his years, he said, the only thing I knew how to do was play music well. He said, I spent a lot of years playing in the bars, just playing music and singing. He said, one day in Baton Rouge, he said, a new oil company came to town, and he said, I thought maybe it's time that I start looking for something else outside of that to help provide for my family. He said, so I went, I filled out an application, did the testing, submitted it, told me they'd call me back, let me know if I got it or not. So he said, the next day they called me, he said, Mr. Hornsby, would you come in tomorrow and meet with us? And he said, I really don't have time. If I failed it, just tell me I failed it. I don't have time for this. I said, Mr. Hornsby, he said, we'd really appreciate it if you came in tomorrow. We just want to talk to you. And he said, okay, that's fine. He said, I'll do it. So he said, I went in with just a horrible attitude because of the way he's done his life. And there he was in that place. He said, I sat down, and there the interviewer was looking at me. He said, Mr. Hornsby, I want you to know something, that nobody has ever tested as high as you have on this test in our company. And they said, and he said, Billy said this. He said, that man leaned over his desk and he pointed at me. He said, young man, he said, I know I don't know you. He said, but I believe if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. He said, at that moment, I checked back in. I start believing again. He said, all of a sudden, negative things that were spoken about me that I believed for so long, somebody spoke life into me. I'm telling you, sometimes it just takes somebody believing in you again and to tell you that you can. And he said, in that moment, I began to work for that company for a while. Then God called me into ministry. God called me to go be a church planner. He said, so he started out in Europe. He moved to Europe, him and Charlene, an incredible family. And they married from high school, all right, and went on and planted over 200 churches in Europe and then founded the Ark. He died some years ago, but now today, Ark, our church planting network that we're a part of, has planted now close to 1,000 churches. Think about that, everybody, because he made a decision. Labels are not going to define me any longer. And a name, I'm telling you, God has a purpose for you. You were made for this. Here's what I've learned about my struggles in my life, that oftentimes your calling will be connected to the weaknesses of your past. And God will use those old labels to help break those things off the lives of other people. That's why I love Freedom and our Freedom ministry. If you've never been through Freedom small groups in this church, this fall, you need to make sure you're in Freedom. I'm telling you, do yourself a favor. Our pastors, our staff, everyone, well, I tell all of them, make sure you go through it at least once. So some of our new staff are going through it all in the fall. I'm excited for them. But God has a lot of things that he wants to do on the earth today, and he's just looking for people to respond to him. He wants to give you a new name. He wants to give you a purpose. And here's the last one. He wants to give you a new future. For some of us, it's been hard to see a future because of the stains of yesterday. But thanks be to God for his love, man, for dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and for the forgiveness of our sins, man, that the slate has been wiped clean. You owe nothing. For some of you, you need to believe again. For some of you, it's time to step back in the call of God. For some of you, it's time to take that step of faith with that business and do what God has purposed in your heart to do. No holding back. Listen, doesn't matter how many times you failed. The key is, did you get back up or not? Regardless of what your past has told you, the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he still gets back up. So either you're in a place today where you're up or you're getting up. And you've got to see yourself in that. Jeremiah 29:11, I want to read this and we're going to pray. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Come on, bow your heads right where you're at. Father, I thank you today for the incredible love of God. And Lord, right here, I realize there's some things that the enemy has tried to do. There's some things that he has tried to capitalize off of, things that even through people, words that has been spoken has affected us, and it does hurt. But I pray right now in the name of Jesus for every person under the sound of my voice that, Holy Spirit, you will begin to move and to bring healing so that we can move forward. God, we're not called to just stay where we're at. There's so much more that you have for us. I pray today that we see ourselves as you see us, forgiven, free, clean, victorious. God, more than a conqueror, leader, moving forward. That you're not looking at our past, and neither should we any longer. It's time to move forward. I declare generational curses that have gone on through grandparents onto parents, and that we see it affecting us and maybe beginning to affect our kids. I pray today that, God, that you would give us such a courage to begin to stand up and declare that it's going to stop with us, that it's not going to continue on, but God, that you are reigning supreme in our life and that we're going to surrender our heart and everything we are to you. And if we need to get help, we're going to ask for help. So, Lord, I just thank you right now for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And if you're here right now, I want to give you an opportunity, if you don't know Christ, before we leave, to know him personally. Maybe for the first time, or maybe you're in a place right now that you need to recommit your life to God. You realize, man, I'm not pursuing him like I should be. Maybe you've allowed, there's been some things, some of those words or labels has held you back from pursuing a relationship with Christ. I just want you to know today, man, he loves you. He's never quit loving you. If you're here today, you say, man, I need him in my life, or I need to recommit and ask God to move in me again. On the count of three, just lift your hand real high. Come on, 1, 2, 3, real high. And say, that's me. Yeah, gotcha. Awesome. Proud of you guys. Put your hands down. I just want to lead you in a prayer and just say something like this. Just say, Jesus, I give you my heart. Forgive me of my sins. My future is in your hands. Change me. Rearrange me. Help me to become more like you. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.